I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast are Roy David.
How you doing, everybody?
Tim Hicks.
Hiya, pal.
Terry Hawkins.
It's been a month since the DDC, and I still can't find my liver.
It's hiding. And it's Michael Ty.
Hello, everybody.
So tonight on the podcast, we're going to go ahead and play another round of Preserve, Renovate, Replace, this time over in Epcot. And, you know, I know it wasn't that long ago that we played Blue Sky with Epcot. This is a little different, I think, than our Blue Sky shows. It's a little different approach, and I think we're going to get some interesting results out of it. But before we get too deep into that discussion, I want to take a minute and thank our sponsor, Mouse Master Travel. Let a Mouse Master take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right. So we talked about this a little bit before we went live. You know, it's a little harder to kind of guide our way through a preserve, renovate, replace show in Epcot because you don't have the clearly defined lands the way you do in Magic Kingdom. But we'll do our best to kind of describe things. And I want to start with kind of broadly speaking the entrance area of Epcot. And when I say entrance area, I'm really talking about everything from like the monorail station through Spaceship Earth, right? Like the other side of Spaceship Earth. So you've got your entrance plaza, you've got the monorail entrance area, you've got some, you know, shops and services to your right and your left, and Spaceship Earth in the middle there, the fountain, all that kind of stuff. Everybody understand what area we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, got it.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I guess we'll start alphabetically. So, Roy, you're going to be up first. And what in this entrance area of Epcot do you feel is the thing that must be preserved?
Well, for me, I'm sure that every photo pass geek is going to agree with me too, but I think the fountain still needs to be there. Was always a big focal point. The way that Spaceship Earth sort of framed it in the background made for some great photo taking opportunities. It was just also a nice way to sort of walk into the park and realize that you're in Disney. You know, the way that the water dances through the fountain and the way, you know, it coincides with the music as they go through, sort of like a mini version of the fountain in between the two Interventions buildings. So for me, I think that's the thing that needs to be kept more than anything else.
All right. So Roy's going to preserve the fountain. What about you, Tim?
Well, you know, as much as a lot of people seem to hate it, I say keep the tombstones because and you know what I'm talking about, the tombstones, the Leave a Legacy thing, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, because it's kind of cool to look back over the names that have been etched up there over time, and that's just something that, I mean, they had to go vertical, I'm sure, because there were so many people, but I would keep those. They're kind of iconic. They're kind of, well, they're not as iconic as the golf ball, but it's something that I associate when I walk into the plaza.
Okay. All right. So Tim is preserving the monuments. Michael, is either the other guys have it right, or is there something more important to preserve?
I actually agree with Tim on this one, to definitely keep the tombstones. They're kind of iconic. You go in, I know every year we go in with our family. My kids always want to see their pictures from when they were infants. And we put them, and we actually did leave a legacy. So it's kind of that iconic thing. You walk in, you come through the entrance gate, and there they are. And you go and you try to figure out which one you're on and go find it.
Okay. So a little personal connection to the monuments there. And that leads Michael to join Tim in preserving the monuments. Terry, how about you?
I think God should take his golf club, take a big swing at Spaceship Earth.
We're preserving, Terry.
and take a dividend of the whole entry. Preserving. Ah, man. The bus stops. You know, the bus stops are not too bad a location where they're at. They make good room for flattening everything else between the bus stops and Epcot.
Okay, so Terry, I have a feeling, is going to be looking for the broadest possible, removals that he can come up with. We'll have to see where that leads us. For me on the preserve end, I'm kind of, more in line here with Roy than with the monuments. I think that whole center area, the combination of the fountain and the planters and things, I think it really does set a welcoming entrance for Epcot. And, I like that you can kind of come in and it's right in the center. So it routes people to either direction, right? To right and left, unlike most of the parks where you're forced to the middle. So I like that it disperses people, right as you're entering the park. And it does, it makes it a little different, makes it unique. And I'd like to preserve that. I mean, I know that there's a tendency to try and make all the park entrances kind of function the same. And so I would preserve the one that does something a little different. All right. Well, so let's move to our next step here. And that's the renovate. What's the thing that's part of this entrance area of Epcot that it's not bad, but it could use an upgrade to just modernize it or update it or clean it up or something along those lines. What do you think, Michael? What needs to be renovated in the entrance plaza?
Fortunately, I think one of the biggest things that needs to be renovated or at least fixed, in my opinion, is the security situation with the monorail. And the monorail, how it lets you out is great, but then you go through security. So if you park at the TTC, you actually get to go through security twice to go to Epcot. And the lines at Epcot get extremely long, and it's almost like they have to reverse how you get off the monorail. And I just think that whole experience needs just a good renovation. It just needs fixed.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm glad you're kind of taking us to an area where, we might not have thought of it necessarily, because it's not really an attraction. It's not really a restaurant, but it is a key part of the park. And so I would agree. I think that a good candidate here for, a renovation is the whole sort of security entrance area, of Epcot. I think that makes a lot of sense. How about you, Terry?
Okay. If you take a big giant golf club,
we just take a great big divot,
right? honestly, the whole area needs to be reworked, and I think that's coming in the works with the plans for a probable hotel going in the entryway, but I just don't see enough of it working right now to even look at refurbishing anything. I'd start from the bus loop and go to the Spaceship Earth, rework that whole area.
All right. So Terry's just, almost going to be refurbishing or renovating by, using an eraser in the middle of the blueprints.
Yeah, but I understand there's issues with the legacy, leave a legacy, right? There's agreements there to have those on display for a long time, but they can be moved to the sides and the entryway can be streamlined. Security can be streamlined with that. That's the big drawback is the leave a legacy. So if I have to refurb something, it's moving the legacy out to a new location.
Right. All right. Fair enough. All right. So what do you think, Tim? Anybody have the refurb down yet, or is there something else?
Well, I do agree that the security situation is like it's like a retrofit, you know. It's like, well, it is a retrofit. I mean, they really could do a lot better job with that. But to me, what needs the most refurb there, and maybe this goes in the demolish instead of the refurb, but do something else with the ticket booth area, because it does not reflect the digital world that we have become. You know, you walk from the bus loop to the entrance and you pass dozens, literally dozens of ticket booths that have nobody in them. They're just kind of there, and you can like, okay, well, you know, this is kind of a sad start to things.
It's like that feeling at Walmart on Saturday night, right? When there's
right?
like 17, you know, checkout stands and three guys working.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I would start. And this is not taking into account anything about, you know, the possible hotel and what they might do with that. Just looking at it the way it is today, that's where I would start.
Sure. Well, how about you, Roy? Where are you going to start with a refurbishment?
I kind of agree with the whole idea that the way the security situation is sort of played out, it's sort of a retrofit. And, you know, I'm sure no one took that into consideration, obviously, when they built the place. But yeah, I think they need to sort of work around maybe renovating the monorail station and that all that area right around that, right at the bottom too, where the security station is, to make it a little bit more efficient. And I also agree with the ticket booths. I mean, it's funny, every time I go past those ticket booths, I kind of feel like it's back like a 1991 again, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, who gets their tickets at the front gate anymore? I'm sure they could make better use of that space.
Answer,
you know, perhaps using that to sort of, yeah, right, to sort of get, you know, get people excited about getting into the parks and everything, and having maybe a little bit of a pre-show over there. I think that probably would be the best thing, but I agree. I mean, ticket booths are sort of, I think they've gone the way of the dinosaur, to be honest with you, the way that, you know, they ask you to buy your tickets ahead of time and you know, and
right.
And maybe you might need a guest relations windows, but that's about it.
Yeah, you're right, Roy. Like, there are still people that do buy at the gate, but there's far more the line for customer service to get tickets fixed or other things.
Are
is much longer than the line to pick up tickets.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, that's definitely true. All right, well, now we get to the stage that I think you know, people are kind of chomping at the bit for already, and that is, what in this whole entrance area just needs to go? What needs to be completely replaced? And let's go with Tim first. What are you just going to completely replace?
Well, that's where I'm going to go with the monorail station. That's just it's given the fact that all the problems that they've had with the monorail in the first place, and the talk, you know, that I've heard about, you know, stopping the Epcot rail, that's just so unfriendly in comparison to the rest of the park. It's I don't know. That's the part I think I like the least.
All right. So Timmy's going to replace the monorail station. How about you, Michael?
I'm actually going to replace the ticket booths and restroom that's tied to the employee parking lot that you can't really get into after security. It's a completely wasted space when they turn that one parking lot into employee parking. No guests can really walk in there. You have to walk all the way through, all the way past the ticket booths,
right.
To a spot that you can't even get into the park because those gates are always exit gates.
Yeah.
And it's a completely dead space, and it absolutely just completely just needs blown up and put something in there that's useful. Maybe a restaurant, maybe an extra coffee shop instead of that little Joffrey's kiosk, and, you know, maybe something a little more than what's there.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. So, Roy, what are you replacing?
Other than the monorail station, I probably would replace the two areas underneath Spaceship Earth. One is guest relations, and the other one's a gift shop. For some reason, that gift shop, boy, it keeps screaming Kodak to me, and I know they haven't been around in forever. Oh,
right. You're talking not under Spaceship Earth, but the ones to the sides, right? On one side is the guest relations, the main guest relations office, and the other side is the camera shop.
Right. I think there could be better uses for that space. Maybe expanding guest relations in an attempt to take out the ticket booths, I think would be a great idea. You know, as you know, maybe putting a place where maybe more of those fast pass kiosks where they can set up new fast pass places. I'm not sure, but I think those two areas right there, I mean, they were great when Epcot first opened, but now I think it's, they're well past their prime.
That's reasonable. I mean, I see what you're saying there. And I, you know, for me, when I look at the replace option here, to me, I want something that is addition by subtraction, right? Just getting rid of something is an improvement. And so for me, my addition by subtraction is basically the entire entrance plaza in front of the fountain and planter, right? Everything forward of that, just blow it up. I know that takes out the monuments, and I know that maybe there's a contractual obligation. If you've got to maintain them, because, you know, my understanding is I thought they had completed the contract term on those, but if not, if they still have to keep them around, you know, so fine, move them forward farther, right? Move them outside the gates even, right? Let people who aren't even coming into the park find the names on the monuments from, you know, just outside. That's cool. But they disrupt the flow of the entrance into the park. They are great big heat magnifiers, right? Because that's what concrete does. It absorbs heat and then radiates it. And the last thing we need in the park that is the greatest expanse of concrete at Walt Disney World is what amounts to, you know, a huge radiator.
So you're saying if you had a giant golf club.
Yeah, but instead of the driver that you're wanting to use on the golf ball, Terry, I'd be
the golf ball.
I'd be going with the pitching wedge.
Just strike a divot in front.
Yeah, I'm going with the pitching wedge. I'm digging deep.
But the thing is, I think those monuments kind of serve as a baffle so you can't look and see just how crowded anything is, you know? it's kind of a visual deterrent.
Yeah, see, my visual for it is more of the faces melting during Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's a really good point, though. And I was going to talk about that, how the, there's a great comedian whose name is escaping me right now. Thank you, Rum. who talks about the Epcot Death March. And that's where it starts. You know,
yeah.
you're marched through that. And by the time you get to Spaceship Earth, you're just hoping for a slightest whisper of shade. Yeah. And you've got a whole park to go yet.
Well, and that's kind of my point, right?
Got to be redone.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my point. Of all of the theme parks, Epcot is the one that has just virtually no natural shade in the front part of the park. There's nothing.
What I think they should do is if they built a big hotel.
You genius.
They could just have a shaded area all the way from the hotel to Spaceship Earth, redo that whole area, put in a alternate entrance coming in to the side there, like take Roy's suggestion and knock out a couple of the side buildings, have your entryways go in there as you rework that entire entryway for a year.
Sure.
I think that's kind of what needs to be done there.
All right, but now you're taking a second whack at Blue Sky Epcot, and we got to draw you back here a little bit.
Come back, Terry. Come back.
All right. Well, we've given a good, you know, taken a good swing at the entrance area of Epcot. Let's kind of move into the park a little more and focus our attention on Future World West. And really, I want to kind of try and focus us a little more. I'm going to break up, I think, our park in a little bit of an unusual, you know, not exactly the same way we always have, just because I think it'll be a little more logical geographically piece by piece. So looking at Future World West, and let's focus for a minute on really the Seas Pavilion and the Land Pavilion, right? Those two major areas. And so out of those two areas, and we've got, what, half a dozen attractions, really, between the two. Between those two, Michael, what are you going to preserve?
I actually am going to preserve the, I could just go with the easy one, but that's not going anywhere. Soaring. Soaring's not going anywhere. The seas, the actual aquarium's not going anywhere. I would say the boat ride down there in the land, I would actually like to preserve. I actually enjoy going through the greenhouses. I know there was some worry this past DDCC that they were going to close it, but they actually closed the movie theater instead. So I would prefer preserve the actual boat going through the greenhouses in the land.
Okay. So we've got one vote to preserve living with the land. What do you think, Roy? Is that the thing most worthy of preservation in this area, or is there something else?
Other than obviously the big draws, I think the one thing I would preserve would probably be Turtle Talk with Crush, to be honest with you. I thought that, you know, given the technology, I know it's the same that you see at Monsters, Inc., but for the kids, it's a huge, huge, huge thing for them. I know when I brought my nephew down there, he couldn't stop talking about it for days, and he kept wanting to go back there. Didn't really want to see the fish, just wanted to keep talking to Crush. So on a nice hot summer day, and if you don't have any rum in you, that's not a bad place to cool off.
Okay. All right. So Turtle Talk with Crush, living with the land. Tim, who's on the right track?
My vote stays with living with the land. And the reason why is because it's more timeless and it's still a good place that you can, you know, take a load off and get, you know, get cool. But, you know, the themes that are presented between the preservation of the ecology and then the, you know, the education for how they grow things and where they're going with things, is much more timeless than Crush personally. Crush sooner or later is going to run his course and they're going to replace it with something else that's just as cool. So my vote stays with living with the land.
Okay. So two votes for living with the land, one for Turtle Talk. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, I have to kind of agree with the guys there. You know, since the land. Sorry, I'm debating here.
Have some more rum, dude.
Yeah, I can only refurb one attraction, and I think the land could use a refurb, but it's not as in dire need, so I'd keep the land as it is.
Okay, so you're going to preserve the pavilion and worry about, you know, refurbing something else that's more in desperate need. I'm actually with... I'm going to go ahead and join the chorus for living with the land. I'm tempted to lean towards refurb, but I'm also trying to be a little realistic. I'll live with preservation. You know, as long as it's being preserved sort of, you know, more like I keep thinking of the, you know, cartoon of the person going to buy the used car who, you know, says they want to buy that car that has a sign on it. And the salesman comes over and, as he swipes the sign off the car falls apart. And the response is, wait a second. I don't want it as is. I want it as was.
I would love to bring the guides back on living with land.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get guides back, that'd be great. But you know what? I'm happy just with getting, you know, like the shrimp colony needs to be repopulated. We need more, of the wildlife things that gave it some kinetics. I think that's the biggest thing it's missing right now.
Yeah.
And, but I really do hope they preserve it. It's something that's completely unique. You're not going to find it in other parks, and it makes for the availability of the best value tour in all of Walt Disney World, which is the fantastic behind the scenes tour.
That's very true.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one. Yeah.
You know, and if you get rid of living with the land or you change it up too much, then maybe you lose the tour too. So,
either that or it's the only way you can experience any of it.
Yeah. Right. So, all right. So that's our preserve for this area. What about the refurb? What needs a serious refresh, Roy?
What needs a serious refresh? I would have to say the ride going into the Living Seas, or the Seas with Nemo, excuse me. I'm dating myself. I remember back in the days when it was Sea Base Alpha, but now, walking through an endless maze that never seems to have a really long line to get onto a tiny little clam that'll eventually get you to where to see the fish. Yeah, I'd rather have them doing something else with that.
All right. So we've got one vote for the Seas with Nemo and Friends needing the refurb. What do you think, Tim?
No, I'm okay with that. I would like to see some things reimagined there, but I am going to refurb the Garden Grill. I've seen the place, when it first started, where, it was busy all the time, to where now it's only open at certain times. And frankly, the last time I had dinner there, it was not a good experience. I felt like I was being given the leftovers from a different table.
Yikes.
I am serious. It really harsh. Did. So, I have others who were with me that will verify, but I think I would rework that a little bit. I mean, I think that there's some things that can be done that would make it more cohesive to the whole idea of living with the land and all that. But, the family style dining, it doesn't work for me.
Okay. So Tim's going to rework the restaurant there. It's been a while. It's probably a worthy candidate for a refurbishment. What do you think, Terry?
We're talking just the land and the seas, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I would refurb Soarin'.
Really?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I know they put a lot of money into it. And the ride is, it's absolutely fantastic if you're in the middle at the right height.
Okay. Good point.
Right.
If the CGI you're off
stuff to, doesn't work.
If you're off to any of the extremes of it, which a good percentage of the people are, it's not a good experience. It's not as good an experience as the old Soarin'. So they've got to rework that.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. I mean, a refurbishment, it's a recent, new film, but look, there's some pretty big misses there. And this is an opportunity perhaps to fix that if we're going to play this game. All right, Michael, what do you think? What's going to get refurbed?
Oh, well, I kind of agree with everybody, but the one I would really focus on is actually the sea base in the Seas with Nemo. The sea base concept just doesn't fit. Seems like it's some leftover theming from when it was Sea Base Alpha in the old Living Seas. And it doesn't fit with the fact they tried to go towards Nemo and some of their intellectual properties. And it just misses.
All right. So basically you want them to either go all in or pull it out and go back to Sea Base Alpha.
Correct. Probably go all in with their intellectual property because, they've got Turtle Talk with Crush. They've got Bruce the Shark in there. And then you've got a submarine. it just disjointed.
Yeah. No, I can see what you're saying there. I understand that. For me, maybe this is too minor to count, but I'm going to go for it anyway. They finally just gave up and closed Circle of Life. It's been, let's all be honest, irrelevant for probably at least 5 years, if not longer. It just never really worked. It was supposed to be this educational film that, taught the whole food web thing. And all it really did was kind of rather clumsily scare kids.
Right.
I just don't get it.
I didn't know they closed it.
As talented as a group of filmmakers that Disney has at its disposal, how do they come up with that thing that was Circle of Life? They can do better than that. It's now dead space and I, deplore nothing more than dead space in a crowded theme park, right? It's got to have some valuable use. So I don't care what they do, but refurbish it, do something with it because, there's an unfortunate legacy recently in Epcot of just when things don't work right or when things are, more complicated to fix than they want to pay attention to, that they just close it and forget it exists. And I really hope they don't do that with Circle of Life because that land pavilion is incredibly busy. You've got, so much going on there because you've got the restaurant going on there. You've got two restaurants, right? You got Sunshine Seasons and Garden Grill and, you know, Living with the Land that we're preserving and Soarin'. There's so much going on there. You can't afford to have wasted space. So I don't care what they do with it, but refurbish it. All right. Well, and so now we get to the last one, the one we sometimes call bulldoze, right? What are you just going to blow up and start over again with? I don't know. Tim, what are you going to blow up?
Well, you just stole my thunder because I didn't realize Circle of Life had actually closed.
And yeah, just this past week.
Just demolish, start over with that thing. There is so much. There's so much imagination that could be realized in a space like that. Like you said, in a building that's already so busy with so many people trying to ride, you know, Soarin' and the other attractions, give them a diversion, a place to go for something else rather than, you know, something to go in and take a nap and where it's a little bit cooler. You know, that's about what Circle of Life had become anyway. Yeah, right?
For God's sakes, you know, take a cue from Magic Kingdom and, not Alien Encounter, Stitch's Great Escape. And you know, meet Timon and Pumbaa there, right? I mean, just something.
Yeah, and well, especially now that they're doing a live action Lion King,
right?
You work something off of that without it being what it is.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Terry? What are you going to blow up?
I'd blow up Circle of Life again and again and again in the hopes that
just sort of in a circle
rumbar
in the hopes I could get the 20 minutes of my life back that I spent watching that film the one and only time I watched it. It's that's got to go. Whether you know, tying it in with something to do with the Lion King would be fantastic. You've got tie it into the pavilion as well. You've got the land, you've got Soarin', you know, have, like you guys say, Pumbaa there, and you gotta come out with a bird film. Disney, come out with a bird film and you can tie in the air as well then. Whatever. Something's gotta be done. Anything is better than what was there.
Right. I agree. All right, Michael, what are you going to blow up?
It's a clean sweep on that one. definitely. I mean, because we're only stuck with two buildings there. We got the land and we've got, you know, the seas with Nemo. And that is, it's always been dead space. And now it's officially dead space. And hopefully the Imagineers can come up with something good to put into it. Hopefully they can maybe tie in a little bit more with the Flower and Garden Festival, since it is the land building, and maybe make a year-round type of Flower and Garden type festival in that thought. Extra space,
right?
But it'll probably just end up being a character meet and greet when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, you know, useful space is useful space. Find a use. That's all I ask. Find a use. All right. So, what's it going to be, Roy? What are you going to plow under?
Far be it for me to go against the rest of the crowd, but you guys hit it all right on the head. I think when the land first opened, when that pavilion first opened up, it was, the theme was supposed to be how the land was, you know, how it's supposed to feed us, you know, the ways that we grow our food, whether it's animal, plant, whatever the case may be. And then didn't they have the kitchen cabaret over there at one time too, which was kind of a goofy take on nutrition and things like that. Just the Lion King just never seemed to really settle into that area, I guess. Maybe that was just me holding on to the old theme. I think, unfortunately for me, I was also thinking about possibly blowing up the Garden Grill too. I mean, I was thinking to myself, I haven't had a great meal experience there too. And that meal was so much more interesting when you could sort of see the boats going through. And sometimes it just was a little depressing when there wasn't as much demand for that ride. And you just happened to see empty boats just going through. So I was thinking either one of those two, but I think I'd go with the Lion King. You're right. There's no use for that. Get rid of it.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking they've got the Finding Nemo show that they've done with the puppeting and stuff like that. Why not do something with the Lion King or another intellectual property, Tarzan Call? I mean, come up with something that can feature a good stage show.
Right. I'd love to see, but we have to be careful here and remember that what makes this game a little different than Blue Sky is that we do have the constraints of, what's there. And, sure. And that one of the things that was always an issue is that space is a little awkward. It's an awkward shape because of the shape of the building, that does present some limitations to what you can do there. But it doesn't mean that nothing can be done there. It just means you got to be a little creative. You got to approach things a little differently. In order to do a show like the Finding Nemo show with puppets, you need a really huge space.
You would be surprised. I mean, I just kind of came off the Disney Dream and watched, where I watched the new Beauty and the Beast show, and they did an amazing amount of stuff.
But they've got a two-story space.
Oh, that's true. They do.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to get the space somewhere. And they do it vertically. And they do it vertically. If you think about it, they do it vertically for the Finding Nemo show too. Right? They've got that whole second tier, really, almost, of the stage up above.
That's true. Yep. Yeah, and you got to have that space. That's a good point.
All right. Well, I don't think I need to belabor it any further. Although I will say this, I'm going to drop this because I was stuck kind of in between what the right answer is for Circle of Life and this other thing that I want to talk about. Because, since Circle of Life had already closed, I didn't feel like I could say that was what needed to be blown up because it's kind of already been blown up. I just want to see that space refurbished so it gets used. The other thing that I kind of want to see blown up, and I'm probably going to take some flack for it, is I think they need to blow up the tank. Now, bear with me here for a second. I don't really mean that they need to completely get rid of the tank. I think they need to blow up its current configuration. I think that one of the things about that tank is that it's on the one hand, a great example of a time in Disney history where they were really ambitious and they were willing to let Imagineers sort of experiment on the fly because, they built, I believe that it's still like the second largest inside, indoor tank in the world. Third. Right. I mean, it's immense.
Yeah. It's the third there now.
Third now. Okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, they were among the first to do this. Nobody really knew what they were doing. They were taking best guesses and they did an amazing job for what they did, but now they're stuck with what amounts to Gen 1. And it's really hard to work with. They have a heck of a time whenever there's a problem in the tank because they try to move fish or other animals from, one section of the tank to another so that they can do cleanings and they can, do refurbishments and things. The problem is, I mean, think about how long that tank has been up and running. And they built it out of a material that nobody knows how long that material is actually able to last.
So I would look at that as a refurb because you could, you could do some things, parcel off parts of it and rework it while the rest of it is maintained.
Well, and that's why I said I was kind of stuck in between what I would call this, because I do think that really it's more than just a refurbishment because it's more than just altering the theme. It's more than just, adding a chute here or there. I think that really it's a major project where they need to, if they can maybe shut off half of it at a time. They just need to blow up this huge, what's the word I'm looking for? The material they made the stuff out of. It's not plexiglass. It's
vermiculite.
Is that it? Is that what they made it out of?
I think it's like a really
lucite.
Heavy.
Lucite.
Is that's it lucite?
It's, yeah, it's lucite.
There you go. Lucite.
Yeah. It's like 6-inch thick lucite. They just need to blow that up and start with a new material or whatever the modern you know, state of the art is for this kind of thing, because they've had real problems with that tank. Now, it's been good the last probably 18 months or so, but if you'll remember, before that, we had about 2 years where chunks of that tank were closed constantly because they had a really bad algae problem they couldn't get a handle on. And it's just, you know, I get nervous about it because eventually that lucite's going to start to fail. And I don't know what they do. I mean, where do you put that volume of water and fish?
T-Rex, you know, restaurant happening all over again, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Only on a much, much larger scale.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
do more than ruin someone's dinner.
As long as it breaks that, on the coral reef side, right? It could just be express delivery.
Right.
It's the slow swimmers anyway, right?
That's about as fresh as it gets.
My only concern with any sort of refurb or replacement there is getting it back.
Right.
Because it is the third largest by volume aquarium in the world. The cost of putting the fish and everything else somewhere else and building something new, I just don't see them. I don't have the faith in the accountants.
Right.
No, I hear just you. Axe it and put in 60 VR rides instead.
Right. And I don't want to see that. I mean, I love that it is the third largest aquarium in the world and that it's there, you know, representing the Seas Pavilion. All right. Well, let's move on. And I'm going to actually take us sort of continuing around what I guess this amounts to. And this is the other thing about Epcot that there's nothing we can do about. But for gosh sakes, it's backwards. You shouldn't be entering the park from the north and walking south. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
I know. It's like they took two parks and just kind of jammed them together in this awkward space.
Yeah, but even if they were doing that, you're still entering on the wrong side as the main entrance. But anyway, that aside. So you know, continuing around what amounts to counterclockwise, because you end up entering from the wrong side. Anyway, what I want to take on now is sort of a transitional area in a lot of ways, because I want to include both the Imagination Pavilion and, you know, that area in front of the Imagination Pavilion on around and include the west half of Showcase Plaza and the Canada Pavilion.
Don't you dare.
Well, okay, so we'll let you go first, Terry. What are you going to preserve?
Oh, really? Because so much of it needs refurbishment or replacement. So very much of it. And that includes my home Pavilion of Canada. God, it includes that one. What am I going to preserve? I'll preserve the cheddar cheese soup.
So Terry's preserving just the cheese soup from Le Cellier. How about you, Tim?
You know I am a sucker for tradition. Even though Figment is not, you know, a feature character per se compared to the other Disney properties, I'm going to keep Figment.
Okay. So one preserving soup, one preserving Figment. Michael, what are you preserving?
I'm actually going to be with Tim on this one, and actually just the character Figment. Just keep them alive. Keep them around. Is a good place for kids. You know, we've got Nemo, which is for kids. The Land Soaring is a little bit more intense, but for younger kids, they love Figment. And they've really marketed Figment a lot in the last couple of years with the different festivals.
Yeah.
So that's keep true. Figment.
Okay.
And then there's the nod to Robin Williams too. You know, I'm like, right. Okay, I like it.
Okay, so two votes for preserving Figment, one for preserving cheese soup. Roy, what are you preserving?
I'd have to go with Figment as well. I think, you know, for me, he's sort of the bridge between Epcot when I was a kid and my kids as they're going through it now too, you know. They're never going to know the joy of the Dreamfinder, and they're never going to really understand how much Figment meant to me as a little kid, but to me, it's sort of like a nod to my past and part of the reason why I keep bringing my family over to Disney, because he sort of represents everything that I like about Epcot and Disney as well. And he has become the de facto mascot of Epcot Center. So
yeah, I really keep him.
Well, and just a little spark, you know?
Yeah.
okay, so I'm going to need a ruling from the panel here for my preserve, because the thing that I want to preserve, it's not on the regular park map. Because it would sit like between Refreshment Port and Promenade Refreshments, and the thing is that, I mean, in the modern Epcot, where it's sort of festival season 9 months of the year, it's there 9 months of the year. So does it count? Can I choose it for my preserve?
I would go with it because I know where you're going with this, and it's a great idea.
Okay.
Does it have cheddar cheese soup?
No, I'm voting to preserve.
It's got comfortable chairs.
I'm voting to preserve yes. The pineapple. What do they call it? The pineapple. What's the other part of the name?
Is it rum?
Pineapple refreshments or something like that? Pineapple.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Station. I don't remember now. Pineapple Express. No. In any case, it's a little. It's the pineapple stand that goes up between Refreshment Port and. Promenade refreshments. It's where they serve the dark rum and coconut rum. Take your pick. Dole. Soaked Dole Whip. As well as some other eats and drinks, none of which I've ever ordered. Gee, why would that be?
See, I'll refurb that just to make it bigger.
I like that it's just kind of a little unassuming, out of the way stand. It's my little secret. It's you know, it's the perfect stop where if you've done the rope drop dash to ride Soarin' and then you've got some time before your fast pass time comes for test track, you can just take a little jaunt across and the timing is really good. You know, by the time you've finished your Dole Whip with rum, you're just getting in line for test track. Not too close, not too far. I've timed it out several times. It works really well.
Then they need to open it up with regular Epcot hours and not World Showcase hours.
There you go. I would agree with that too.
Right. That's my gripe.
All right.
Hey, finish up that rum Dole Whip and then go to Mission Space, Orange Side. That works.
okay. Like so there's our preserves now. What are we going to refurbish in this area? Roy, what gets refurbished?
What gets refurbished? Oh, gosh. I think I'm going to stick with Figment as much as I want to. I'm definitely going to keep them, but I just wish they would do something a little better with the ride. Get rid of the skunk smell, for crying out loud. That's the last thing I need. But if
it should be roses.
Yeah. You're already having to smell the guy in the neck, you know, next to you.
All right. So a lot of attention to imagination. We're going to preserve Figment, but refurb the attraction. I get the distinction there. That's important. All right, Michael, how about you? What's getting refurbished?
I'd really like to refurb the Captain EO Theater. It just seems to not have a direction. It seems like it's always got something different going on in there, and just it needs a refurb to go with the Imagination Pavilion. It's just kind of, it's like an add-on. So it just needs a good refurb, retheming.
Right, with a focused purpose. I like that approach. All right, so Tim, what are you refurbing?
I'm refurbing the, what is it called? The ImageWorks or whatever, area.
Yeah, the interactive area, sort of the bottom floor there.
Yeah, I think there are some better things that they can do. I mean, what they've got there is pretty cool, but I think there's a lot more with the advances in technology that they could do with that space.
Sure. Okay. So we're going to do a refurb of We got Roy is going to refurb the attraction, and then Tim's going to refurb ImageWorks below it. So we're going to have all new, and Michael is taking care of the theater outside. So all of Imagination is in great shape. So Terry, what are you going to refurbish?
Jeez.
Let me guess. To contradict everybody there, I'm going to refurb the Imagination Pavilion. You know what? I'd take the DVC lounge and I'd move that over to the Circle of Life screen, and then take that whole pavilion and do that with a brand new Figment attraction that incorporated the whole lot. I think they could do some wonderful things. Taking you from in a car from like what they do now, but then up like Peter Pan up to the sky, you know, real imagination.
Okay, refurb, so
that whole area.
So refurb, see, calling it the refurb, this is why this game is tricky for me, because I always want to do like something more than I can get away with, right? I mean, what I'd really love to do is to totally replace the Imagination Pavilion. I mean, start with the basic structure, but then have a Phineas and Ferb coaster that just bursts out of it, and just really blow up the whole concept of imagination, you know, literally blowing up through the roof of the pavilion. I think you could do some really fun stuff with it. But that's probably stretching the whole refurb thing a little far. So...
No, it's refurbing Ferb.
It's so, no. It's a Ferb refurb.
What are we going to do today?
Exactly. You know, actually, okay, so that's what I'm going to stick with. I'm going to go ahead with the Ferb refurb. You know, lots of different ideas have been floated for Imagination for different IP to take over. What I like about using Phineas and Ferb for that is that it's the one IP that probably would work best with incorporating Figment as well, because, you know, they've done crossovers with all kinds of other characters, and the way that, you know, you'd be playing with sort of them, you know, letting their imaginations run wild. I mean, it would be perfectly in character for them to include Figment, or frankly, for Figment to, you know, come by and give them advice about how to build their coaster as the lead-in story to the ride.
Well, they could tie in Phineas and Ferb, Figment, and Inside Out all within one large attraction.
Oh, sure you could.
Oh, easy. Dude, that's wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. I love the image in my head of, you know, a crazy Phineas and Ferb coaster that, you know, starts inside the Imagination Pavilion and, you know, literally launches and climbs up, you know, through the roof of that pyramid.
That would be really cool.
All right. So now we get to our replaces. What is it that just needs to get plowed under? Michael, what are you going to just destroy?
Oh, I have one thing that I have wanted to destroy since they built it, and it just, of all places at Epcot where you already have the concrete jungle, they added more concrete when they added permanent sidewalks in between all these green spaces for all the festivals. And I just would like to see them just absolutely just destroy all but one or two of those permanent sidewalks, and specifically where they have the butterfly aviary that's all concrete now, and fake grass. And it just, it drives me nuts, because that used to be real grass that you didn't walk on. And now it's just, there's sidewalks going all through it.
Yep.
And just want to get rid of it and give us back some green space.
I like that. Quite reasonable. All right. So Tim, what are you going to plow under?
I think this is where I'm going to go for the Captain EO Theater. Just plow it under and let's reuse that space plus the space behind the Imagination Pavilion to just do something else.
Okay.
I don't know what, but that's
Right. But it's still addition by subtraction to just get that out of the way.
Exactly.
Hotel.
How about you, Roy?
Can I get two things? Well, the first thing I in the same vein as the, getting the green space back, I want to get rid of that playground. It makes no sense for that to be out there. Listen, I get it. You want a kid to sort of burn off the excess energy. But when you're trying to make a beeline to get to Soren to make a fast pass, the last thing I want them to do is go down slides. So get rid of it, please. And the other thing I would get rid of is are the water fountains outside of Imagination. They're tired. They look old. And there is no way I will stick my kid's face in that water coming across the fountain ever. That water is gross. So I'd probably just blow that up too.
What are you talking about? It's pretty tasty.
It's water. But Tim, you've got enough disinfectant in your system already that you can withstand
that's
it.
That's true. Good point, the rum will take care of that.
All right. So has anybody not had their chance to destroy something yet?
Nobody's nuked Canada yet.
Nobody's nuked Canada. Tempting as it might be.
I happen to like Canada.
No, I like Canada. To be honest, Canada, it needs more addition. I'm not concerned so much with destroying something there.
But, agreed.
You know, if I'm going to destroy something, maybe somewhat along the lines of what Michael was saying, I would destroy, and to some extent it's a destroy and replace, but I would just get rid of the small, narrow walkways and replace them with one big one. Because that whole area, that side's access back and forth across, it's just, it's never comfortable for anybody. There's always a stroller in front of me, you know, and it's the person pushing the stroller who's walking half as fast as I want to walk. But because it's such a narrow path, you can't really go around them without being a jerk. So I would like to see him get rid of all those little paths. And I know that we need the access, but, you know, just do one nice, big, wide path that everybody can use, and maybe break it up with a greenway in the middle or something so that there is some natural space and some grass there still. But, you know, get rid of the spider work of narrow paths.
Add more heated concrete. That's a good idea.
Well, it's, by volume, it's not going to be any more is what I'm saying. By volume, I'm not suggesting any more concrete. I'm just saying that it's better to have it where it can be utilized more efficiently.
You just gave me a great idea, and I know this belongs in a blue sky session, not this session, but you know, you got that great train ride across Canada. Why not put something like that as an add-on to Canada? Sorry.
That's a whole other. We've done part of that show, and it almost went on this list. I think it's going to go on the next cycle because I absolutely think we need to talk through the addition of attractions to all of the countries throughout World Showcase.
I think that'd be a good show. That'd be
a great show.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked through some of them, and I just wanted to kind of get far enough away from the version that we've already done that it would be fresh to do it again.
We had that discussion earlier too.
Yes. Yes, we did. You know, you've heard us ramble on. We'd love to hear your thoughts. This is a good point to mention. We did get some feedback recently from, one of our listeners, Tim Berry. Tim was listening to our Blue Sky DCL episode that just went up a couple of weeks ago and had several comments to share with us, including one that I really liked, which is a Coco-themed show for the Wonder when it's on its Mexican itineraries. Thought that was a great idea. So nice, that's nice cool. Work, Tim. I appreciate that.
Yes.
In any case, just like Tim, you can send us email at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadpodcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. And hey, if you got an extra minute, we'd still really appreciate a review on whichever service you're using to listen to the show. It could be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, whatever it is, post a review. It makes it easier for other people to find the show. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Terry Hawkins.
Good night, y'all.
Michael Ty.
Good night.
Roy David.
Have a good night, everybody.
And Tim Hicks.
parting is such sweet sorrow.
Our outro music is Whiskey on the Mississippi by Kevin MacLeod. He shares it under Creative Commons license by attribution. Thanks for your song, Kevin.